Okay, hi Neeti. We agreed that we're going to go through our experience of crashes and talk a little bit about them. Can you set the scene a little bit, please?
Okay. Yeah, so what mainly I would want to be talking, or we discussed that we would be talking about, is the experience of my experience of the crash that I went through, and how similar that is to different experiences that you've had in terms of dealing with a situation. How the whole process of what happened during it, and how I went through it, and how I was being ma mindful about it. How is it different this time, and leading to what was the outcome? Like, how do I manage it going forward, and how is it different from any other time? And what does it narrow down to, and what are the steps? What is the structure behind that I have worked on? What have I identified? What are the patterns that I've identified during this experience, and how it can help somebody else who's going through a similar experience to maybe have a different perspective, and try this perspective to see if that can be resourceful for to them.
Great. Great. So would you like to start by describing what you feel you've learned from this time round?
I think maybe if I could go back to the journaling, I would wanna put in a little more of, I know, content into it, where I called the whole situation as a maze brain situation. Okay, that's what came in my head when I was
Maze brain,
maze brain.
like a
Yeah, like a
physical
maze.
maze.
Exactly, a physical maze. So in my head there's a maze, and it's green in color, and I'm in a maze brain. My brain is like a maze, right? And at that point, and while and this was this journal this journaling was during the so the crash happened for me. It takes 3 or 4, like, it's almost a week experience, where I know I'm beating myself up, and I'm not able to keep up to my routine, and I'm overwhelmed, and that turns into anxiety, and then that leads to a point where it just escalates and escalates, and then that eventually leads to a complete crash, and that complete crash goes is a process of one whole day of not able to function at all. So this maze brain situation is what I termed it when I started writing about it. And for me, it was something like this, where I spoke. It was like I was talking to another person. Like, I mean, I do a lot of monologue with myself, so it was talking to myself, and saying that we physically exist on our own, and each of us have our own reality, our own worlds we live in. So that's how I looked at it, because every time I was spoken to, or I would go through this experience, I thought I was going crazy, or something's not right. But when in NLP we say there's no right or wrong, everybody has their own own map of the world, and everybody looks at the world in a different way. So in my head, it's everybody has their own world. Everybody has their own, it's like multiple universes. And we create our own world in a way. We also want to destroy it at the same time. And I'm not talking about physical world. Like, it's anything that we see and experience. And yeah, so the whole experience boiled down to just me being there, and existing in multiple when I cross path with other people, they, you know, I'm like, okay, is this person looking at me in this way? What is happening? And stuff like that. So, yeah, to sum it up, this is how I've written. I would want to maybe read out something that I've written. Is that okay?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, so I'll read this out. I have this way of existing in this world. Some days are trying, not tiring, not because I did a lot of work, but because my brain runs around like a headless chicken, waiting to just fall dead at some point. Some days are so much more productive and calm. Each time I have emotional breakdown, it takes me days or even weeks to come back to my senses. It's like my brain just goes into hibernation mode automatically. I could stay in that state, but the world around me is moving too quick, and I'm finding difficult to catch up some days. Some days the world is too slow and I'm in some supersonic mode. I have these normal days where I'm able to catch up exactly to the phase the world is traveling on, and those days feel so good. Those are my favorite days. I know I'm unique and I'm okay with that. It's just that when my pendulum swings to the other extreme, staying afloat becomes challenging. It's like balancing on a board. The challenge is to stay focused all the time. I'm too sensitive. Not always I can have chat with myself and help me understand which end of board I am on. That also takes a day or two.
Great. So you're a time traveler.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, yeah, if you look at it. So at that point, it just did sound very, like, not normal, but I had to write it down and I wanted to experience that. So, yeah.
When you say not normal, I'd challenge that. I think that is pretty normal, you know, to feel out of phase with life sometimes and feel like sometimes it's going too fast and sometimes it's going too slow. Maybe it's more acute, maybe it's more, you know, in the moment for you, or more extreme.
Yeah. And when I say supersonic mode, I've used that word because it does feel like supersonic. Like, it's just, the world just is so fast and I'm not able to catch up, and it feels like I'm going out of breath and I can't. So eventually the crash happens after that. And this is, I think, day 3 or day 4. And day 5 is when the crash happened for me.
Right.
And it was more physical experience. Like I mentioned to you yesterday, it was more of a physical experience where I understood that it's okay to feel this way. It's all right. And what triggers it is me overwhelming myself. Of late, I have been more positive towards my perspective and approach towards any kind of situation or any kind of challenge that comes my way. I look at it and say, it's okay. What's, like I said yesterday, what's the worst that can happen? And I don't know how I overwhelmed myself while doing it. But I did overwhelm myself, and that led to this. And I think giving myself that space and saying that it's okay, Neeti, take a step back, just take a breath and work on it. I think that's something that I have realized out of this, because when I was going through the crash, it felt like I mentioned, it felt like my pupils were dilated. I was lying down in a quiet room and a dim room, but I could see the whole thing, like, you know, through time. It was not in time, but it was through time. So I could live through it, and I could see the when it started and what it was going towards and how it ends. So that whole experience was crazy. Very crazy, because I don't know how to explain it in words. And after I've come towards the end of it, and I know what I've recognized, that these are the things, and it's okay to feel this way, and it's all right, and, you know, tell myself that cut yourself some slack, and that's going to be fine. It's very normal to feel this way. You don't have to, function exactly how the world functions and state of the time that the world is functioning. And your world can revolve the, and take the orbit and take the rotation time that you want to take it. It's fine. And you can catch up at some point when, you're not beating yourself up completely. So, and the next day I feel good when I, I would just completely relax after that whole process, and then I would go to sleep and wake up next day feeling better.
Right.
Yeah, and I would feel so good that, it's like, wow, it's a new day. And like, sometimes it's scary. Like, when I think about it, it's kind of scary. Like, how can I access such a great shift of state, just a day before I couldn't function the whole day, and the next day I'm like up and charged up, and I do have spillovers from the whole crash, but it's more like I mentioned, I would take a step back, sit down, take a breath, or move minute things that I would do to break pattern. And then I would step forward to taking up the next, whatever I'm doing.
Is it the same pattern every time? And do you think that it's an important process for you to go through? Or is it something that you think you want to stop from happening?
So it was worse when it started. It was much more difficult and not in my control. It was horrible. Definitely, I don't want to go through this process. I want to reach a point where I don't have, imagine being not able to function properly for a week, or 3-4 days. It's difficult at this pace of life where there are deadlines and you have work to do and you have commitments and stuff like that. It actually adds up to the stress level to me. So the process of understanding is great, but I wouldn't want to go through such an extensive, because it's physically draining. It's exhausting physically. And it takes a lot to... I'm okay with just one day of going through that process, but not like, a week of it. It's gotten better from my past experiences. It has been similar. The experiences, those experiences have been similar, yet different. My awareness is different. Each time the process happens, the awareness is actually a lot more than what it was, and the process is getting lighter as it's happening now. So back then I couldn't, I think even the last previous time that I had a crash, and back in November, I couldn't move, I couldn't even write or think of not jotting things down. This time I had a presence of mind where I could separate. I think that's what we spoke about last time also, about separating my self with two people that I have, two personalities that I've created, because I need to, I'm going through this process of feeling low and this process that I need to be there of working and being present and doing things. So I switch between the two personalities, and yeah, so now that has helped me to, step away from that experience and also experience it while it's happening. So it's a very different experience this time. This time it's been more magnified and actually more awake, I feel, during the experience. Otherwise, I would be a lot more like foggy, dazed, very blurry, not sure, and after the crash I don't feel so great, or I wouldn't feel like I've accomplished something, or I've found something out of it, or I have experienced what's the outcome, what's the conclusion. So this time I have a conclusion.
Great.
So I can snap. Snapping out of it is something that, you know, helps. This is something that I, like, I don't know if I can, this is something that comes in my head. Caesar Millan is known to be the dog whisperer. So in his thing, he talks about how a dog gets into a frenzy of doing like, oh, I'm so hyper. And one thing he does is just like a tap, or he does that. So that breaks the pattern. It literally breaks the pattern, and the dog, the attention moves away, and it changes the state of mind. And that's exactly how I feel right. Like when I step back and, you know, what I do to break pattern, it really helps. It just does exactly, like, I mean, that's the best example I could think of. So that's exactly how I feel.
That sounds a lot like your approach, your technique, where you do little stretching exercises on your bed. Is that similar? Sort of, is that breaking the pattern slightly?
Yes, it does. Yes. So if I am feeling like I think it, whatever state of mind that we are in, it manifests physically as well. So sometimes for some people, it's like tightness of body, you know, shoulder pain. There is some point where you'll have some kind of physical manifestation of it. So sitting down, and I've realized that just sitting down, doing a forward bend, or just you know, lying down in Shavasana, and just doing a body scan, or any of that helps in a great deal, because it's just bringing awareness, breathing into that point. I think that's where yoga has helped me a lot, because in yoga we talk about in whatever posture you are in, if you feel pain at that part of your body, you breathe into that part of the body, and it's like you're mentally you know, sending oxygen, or you're breathing to that place, and you're creating a visual map of your body in your mind, and you're breathing into it, and the release does happen. So I think that adds value to my experience, and because of that knowledge, it adds value to my experience, and it adds value to how I feel, you know, how I change things. Even if it's not, has to, it doesn't have to be sitting on my bed. Even if I'm moving about and I'm you know, doing things, and suddenly I have this weird feeling, and it's normal to have, right? So anxiety can just pop up for no reason. If I have like a heart rate just going up, fluctuating, and it feels like a drum, the drums playing in my chest, thumping, and I would just sit down or take a breath, or I would just do a forward bend. I would just roll it forward and just dangle like a rag doll and breathe into my, you know, chest. I would do a lot of, yeah. And something that I experimented this morning is heart chakra meditation, which felt really nice, because I think for people who have anxiety, and people who have which triggers certain state, and it could lead to crashes like mine, or anything, that because anxiety can lead to a lot of different things, a lot of different issues. Just holding hands on your heart and sitting down and meditating and imagining, the heart chakra is green in color, so imagining green color and being in nature, just have a visual image of it and brighten it, and, you know, doing a heart chakra meditation is amazing. So, yeah.
Great. So there's something, there's a couple of things that you mentioned that I wanted to pick up on, but a theme, it seems to be around pacing, and that perhaps, you know, the self-soothing you're doing when you're doing the stretching is also, and the heart chakra is also about pacing, resetting your pace and your rhythm somehow, reconnecting with that.
So sorry.
The other thing that I, you know, have noticed is the theme of overwhelming yourself. You say overwhelming myself.
Yeah.
And that seems to sound like there's a sense of accountability that it's that you are overwhelming yourself. Does it feel like you're doing that? Do you have the awareness that you are overwhelming yourself? And is it the lack of control, or what control do you have at that point where if you realize that you are overwhelming yourself?
It's definitely lack of control to begin with, and then the awareness happens, and when the awareness happens is when I act upon it. So it's a very unconscious thing. I think it has to do with my behavior reaction. It's just me who moves around quickly and does things quickly and want things quickly and want results quickly. I think that's something, and for me, pacing down is something very important. So it happens very uncontrollably and without my knowledge, and suddenly there is an understanding, because with thanks to yoga and breathing and pranayama and all that I've been practicing, and understanding how breath can work on state of mind, the under it's like an anchor that I have. When I realize that I'm shallow breathing and I'm quick breathing, that means my state has changed, and I it's like a sudden burst of eye opening, like, oh, Neeti, okay, wait, something's wrong, just hold on. And then I'm like, okay, you are overthinking, this is what you're doing, or oh, you're running too fast, can you slow down? So that's what I do. I mean, that's how I have the conversation. So
And
I'd be like, hey, wait, 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 wait.
what do you do at that point?
At that point, I just sit down wherever, whatever I'm doing, I put that on hold. If no matter how important and how deadline or anything, whatever it is, I just put that aside, and I just sit down. I don't do anything. I just sit down and maybe close my eyes or lie down, or this is something that's my favorite posture that I do, is sit in butterfly and my head touching my toes, like I do a forward bend. That helps me think, and I think it also helps my heart rate to regulate. It helps me breathe, basically. So that I do. I sit on my bed and I just do like my head forward and roll into a ball, basically. And I sit there for, I rock back and forth, and then I'm up. Okay, you're okay, fine. Sip some water, go back to it. Like,
Right.
I have an internal, obviously, I have an internal dialogue saying that, okay, what happened? Why is this happening? Cool down, it's fine. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Can you just calm down? Can you peace out? Can you chill out? And then I'll be okay.
So you're essentially resetting, pacing yourself, slowing yourself down, pacing down, as you say. So what happened this time? Why didn't those techniques prevent this crash from happening?
I think it was this time it was my fault, because you did warn me not to ponder upon certain things, and you said, Neeti, it's not do you think you want to really sit on that pain? And I clearly remember you warning me not to do that. And me being curious, I don't know, thanks to NLP or thanks to self-learning and self experimenting, or whatever you want to call it, curiosity has built in me about, how do I, why do I do this part? How can I do it differently? Why am I doing this? Why am I feeling this way? There's always a question that I have towards my reaction, and how can I be different? How am I reacting like this? So I pondered upon a pain that, like I mentioned, I was going through this pain, and I didn't know why I was going through, and why was it still painful, and going through a breakup or a divorce, or how it can. So I think that kind of, and I think what I did was, I don't think, I think I know, I, you know, went ahead with it. I literally did a bungee jump and I said, okay, let me jump into it, and my rope snapped. So
That's a good metaphor, and quite a frightening one.
yeah.
It's everyone's worst
Yeah.
fear, isn't it? Doing a bungee
Yeah.
jump and the rope snapping.
Yeah, so I bungee jumped and my rope snapped, and then there it was.
Wow, that's graphic.
That's the closest I could express what I experienced, so.
And we mentioned yesterday about diet, and what could
Yes.
have, what situational factors, as well as, obviously life pressure, stresses, external factors. But we talked yesterday about diet and sugar, and you, it sounded like you had a bit of a realization there.
Yes, I did. So, because food and mindful eating is something that I've been practicing for a while. I mean, how food affects our state of mind and all that. While I think a brain can only do so much, right? Can focus only on one thing at that point. I was already focusing on how, why this experience, why am I feeling this way? I completely lost track of what I was eating. And after you mentioned this to me yesterday, I was actually thinking about it. And unconsciously, I picked food that would comfort me in terms of a lot of greasy food. Like I would pick up chips, or I would say I would want to have sweet, like, you know, chocolates, a lot of caffeine. I usually have just one cup of coffee, and I landed up having two and more. And I think that also adds on to it, because I know when I'm eating more clean and I'm eating more fresh food and, you know, more sattvic kind of a routine, my calm mind is actually calm, and I don't crave. Cravings don't come that easily when I'm on a very mindful eating situation. But that whole week, I didn't realize I was just eating whatever was, you know, not good. And I did crave for it. I would, even though, because I don't eat junk, or I don't eat food that is not right, doesn't you know, support the state of mind that I want to be in, I don't buy food like that. So I actually went to the grocery store and picked up these stuff. Like, my hands just went there and I just picked up those food, and I came back home and, you know, binged on it, and I didn't even realize I was doing that. So I think being mindful and checking, like, you know, that's what I've done. So I made a checklist. I know it's too intense, and why would somebody, oh my God, there's so much effort, but I think it helps me. I made a checklist and I've put it up on my bedside wall. You know, food check, you know, stretch check. So I have that, these three: food check, stretch check, and music check. So music helps me. So these are the things that I want to keep. These are the things that help me, you know, stay in aligned to the state of mind that I want to be most of the time, like all the time. So at least they support with it. So even if I'm unconsciously going towards something, because it's right there in front of me, I remember it. So I've been doing this. So every time I get off my bed, I know there's a bottle of water, and I sip water. That, I mean, that's how my water drinking habit that I created. But this is something nice, which is new, and it's actually nice. It's helped me. Like, every time I would see eat, I've put a fruit, and I've made a small crayon picture of a fruit, and I've put it up on my wall. And so it's like a visual anchor of eating. Eat means not just eating anything, but eating right, you know, healthy foods. I think a visual anchor of it helps. It helps.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right? When we reflect on what we've done, we often see that there's more in what we've done that we probably just didn't realize at the time. We'd broken some of our habits, because once you get into that overwhelmed state, for some reason we start to stop thinking about all the things that have maintained our positive state, like our diet, like our, like not doing too much, and that can contribute to exacerbating the overwhelm state, just making it worse than it already was. It reminds me a little bit of what happens when, I get into, historically, I'd like to think, when I've got into an argument state where it feels like I'm not myself, like someone's taken over slightly. But it's not so much that someone's taken over, it's more that parts of me have been switched off. The compassionate side of me is more switched off. The one that takes care of myself and gets switched off. And I, like you say, there's the other other indicators, like your heart beating too fast, or your breathing rate having changed, or you not being in a state where you're self-monitoring. And I often find that there's a little voice inside of my head saying, this isn't a good idea. Why are you still doing this? And for some obscure reason, historically, there was a part of me that just went, I don't care. I don't care about you, little voice. I don't care about the fact that this is unhealthy. I don't care about the fact that my heart's beating too fast. The thing that's right in front of me is the most important, and I need to deal with it. It's a sort of fight response. I'm there, and I'm ready to fight whatever this thing is, and it's a mismatch. I'm bringing fight to a situation when I should be bringing love. And not necessarily love to other people, yes, but mostly to myself. I'm abandoning my own needs. I'm abandoning the things, the structure that's supporting me. And when I abandon myself in that way, I behave in a way that doesn't reflect the person that I believe I am. And yeah, wrapping a layer of mindfulness, not a layer, a bubble of mindfulness around ourselves, that creates that buffer between our actions and has a feedback loop in there. This is all part of the way that we, operate in the world in a way that, serves us well, and reflects, gives us the ability to be our best selves. But
I think
it
that's where
takes
the
practice.
self-love practice comes.
I was going to ask you more about self-love then, but I think you've kind of covered it a little bit with your process of your butterfly pose and sort of crawling into a ball, and your music and your food. That's self-love, isn't it? Is there anything
Yeah, it
else that
is.
you do?
Yeah, so there's another thing that I do is so when I know it's out of my control and I have I've really gone through a lot of pain or it's just not in my control anymore. All I do is I lie down and like when I'm lying down, I'm more in like mainly lying in a fetus position, and I just literally hug myself and I talk to myself and I do like I'm crying or I'm just so low that I tell myself, you're okay, I'm there for you, Niti, you're gonna be fine, it's all right, Niti, and it's completely okay, and you know, you're amazing and you are going to get out of it and it's just going to pass, just hang in there and you'll be okay, just hang in there just for some more time. Morning, you'll wake up in the morning, go to sleep, wake up in the morning and you'll feel really amazing and I'm there for you, just we'll get through this together. So this chat always helps me, you know, a chat where I'm telling myself that it's all right, it's okay, you've done a mistake or you've gone through it, something that you did, fine, you did it for, you know, a better understanding on certain things, you had a very, you've always had a positive intention towards it and it was nothing to do, and I know you're going through this and you're going to be okay, you're going to come through this, and it feels amazing because I think to the longest time I've been externally dependent on for that kind of assurance and that kind of comfort, and now I've been practicing that a lot more consciously for like, you know, a couple of months now, and that feels nice. It's like I'm there for myself and I don't need any other external support to comfort me and make me feel good.
And you mentioned before about, you know, these two different parts of yourself. Is this an example of that, where you've got, you know, you've got this other version of yourself that can soothe you, that maybe the, you know, the more idealistic version of yourself or a different version of yourself that's soothing the part of you that's suffering? Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, okay, so this is the vision in my head. Okay, so there are two people, this Niti A and Niti B, like the they both combine them together and they make Niti, they complete Niti. So there's the calm version of Niti and the crazy version of Niti. So the crazy version of Niti does all the damages and the calm version's there to pick up the pieces, and you know, it's like the yin and yang. So yeah, she helps the other one and supports the other one, and I think it's my it's a projection of like how we all look out for somebody externally as a partner to be in, and that's something that's lacked in my life, and I've always, like I said, I've always been dependent, or I do rely on somebody else to help me and be the other bit of it to calm me down, or when I'm hyper, calm it down, or when I'm calm to, you know, pep me up and make me feel good. And after the last time, I'm gonna quote you, you know, you need to be your knight in shining armor by yourself, and you need to rescue yourself, you can't rely, that kind of triggered off you know, this version of the two version of me, and I think it completes me, that experience completes me. So the Niti, the calm Niti and the crazy Niti make Niti. So I have both the resources in me to be utilized whenever I am either of it.
So when you find that you've got these, you know, separate parts of yourself, the kind of more extreme, you know, one that does the damage and the other one that's soothing, you've created a relationship between these two parts of yourself that actually works, that brings you back to being Niti again.
It does. Like I said, it's an external manifestation of mental characters that I've created. It's healthy for me. It works for me. So.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people, you know, go through that, but probably haven't put it as succinctly or as, you know, eloquently as you have. I've certainly experienced that myself, where, I've the internal dialogue that I've had has essentially been there to bring the more extreme version of me back to center. And I think that's it's important to have that. It's important to have that in a voice that is, that is, mindful and aware and is on our side, and like you say, that it's not necessarily an external voice that we're relying on to bring us back to center, whether it's a person or a thing or a structure, a routine that we have. It's entirely, self-dependent, and empowering as a result. We don't need anyone else to center
Exactly,
us, to
because you're
fix
in
us.
control of it. You're in control. I mean, you can't. At least from my experience, I know that I can't always be relying on another person to come and rescue me at that point. There are moments where I want to feel better and I want somebody to come and say, it's okay, it's fine, you'll be okay, you'll get through this. And I've done that for the longest time, and that feels a lot out of control because their reactions and their expression towards what I'm going through would be very different from what I expect to be, spoken to, or what my realization, because how they look at would be very different. And what I've realized by doing this, I am not only self-equipped to help myself, also my expectation and my relationship with the other person, whoever I am close to, it changes. That makes so much of a difference. That lightens up my relationship because I am not projecting my pain on them and not expecting them to soothe my pain. But what I'm doing is I'm projecting my learning on them, and they feel that they, experience something more out of it, and they are benefiting than they're always contributing. And they also could contribute, because when I express what my experience was, they would say, yeah, okay, I understand this. Like how we have had the conversation, even me relying on you, I do rely on you. I depend on you emotionally in so many ways. And I think of late, what I have been doing is I have been sharing my experiences than just my pain. I would share my process through it, and how you would have shared, experienced something similar would give me a perspective, and also that could help me with dealing with it in a different way. And the conversation becomes a lot more, productive or helpful or positive and uplifting than it would be of feeling or not heard, not listened to, or not fulfilling. So I think being there for self makes it a lot more easier being around other people as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because when we have needs, we can often project that expectation onto other people, of the fact that those needs that we have need to be fulfilled by the other person, and when that expectation isn't met, we can feel resentful of that other person for not having, dealt with our needs. And that's not a constructive way to approach it, because that's placing a burden on them. They don't fully understand the situation. There's also that kind of give and take reciprocity thing, where if you're constantly taking from someone in that respect, then you kind of feel like you need to give them something back, and then that can snowball into a, oh, I don't really want to be a burden on someone, I don't want to feel like I owe anyone anything for expressing myself. Whereas actually, if we become aware of what our needs are, and we can develop a way of giving ourself those things, then not only are we able to be more accurate about the way that we do that, because we're talking we're talking to ourselves in a sense, and we're asking ourselves, what do you need? And obviously, we can be completely honest with ourselves at that point and say, well, I just need to get away from this. I just need to go and breathe. I need to roll into a ball and cry. And, I need space and time. And we can give that to ourselves without that sense of burdening anyone, without that sense of, expectations not being met and potentially resentment growing in a relationship. We can say to someone, look, I need some time for to self-soothe. I need to give myself some love right now. And I will come out of this, and I will be able to communicate with you what's happened and to share what I've been through in a way that allows you to be part of it, but not to feel like you need to be my white knight or you need to fix something for me. I am internalizing that rescuer, that supportive side myself, and giving myself what I need so that I can, be there, with you in a more constructive way to an extent, and with ourselves, be with ourselves in a more constructive way.
And that's very I think all of us do it in a very subconscious level, and most of us are so scared and so afraid to do this internal dialogue because at least from the place, like at least from my part of the world, where people think talking to yourself is crazy or loony, and you have to communicate a voice out, or you don't have to talk about it. It's very it, that takes a toll on everybody else as well, and I think it have affects relationships as well. So just being there for yourself, understanding your needs, understanding what you need, taking a step back, working on your pace, and then resetting everything, understanding how things work for you, and how things like, okay, I know this is how I am and how things work for me, makes it easier for the other person and for me to coexist with other people as well. And that makes me more productive. It makes me more successful or happy or whatever state that I have to be in, in
Right.
a
Self love is the answer.
Self-love is the answer. Self-love is the answer for everything. All that we do, right? Working out. If we do it, a lot of people do it for other people. They started with external, but in everything leads to internal. Physical, going to a gym or doing a martial art or doing yoga or eating healthy, eating right, following any routine, anything at all that we all have, all the resources that are around, this is all about self-love. Writing a journal again is a monologue that you do with yourself. It's another way of talking to yourself, because what I do is literally talking, and I also do journaling, but I think it helps. Look, when I'm talking, I talk to me. So all of that is self-love. It's just that we need to identify that these are all tools to help us, be part of one person that we are and be content and also coexist.
And the yeah and the other part about pace, how do you or how are you going to pace in a way that's more, beneficial to you?
So pace is something that I have been constantly struggling with, because like I said before, I usually take up the my concept of Big Lobster when I started implementing Big Lobster, and when I turned into a Big Lobster was big, gobble 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 gobble, powerful, big, powerful. And then I realized that the Big Lobster has its own flaws, and Big Lobster has weaknesses, and then the weaknesses come up and all of that. And I took up a lot more than I can. Like I said yes to everything. I would say yes. And it did feel good. That made me feel great that yes, I'm capable of doing a lot more, taking over the world. And because I don't fall through it and I am not living up to what I have said yes to, because mentally somewhere there are, the other side that pops up, or these things that pull us back, or the things that we are battling, we have our own demons to battle on with. So these pull us back. So identifying them and pacing helped me to understand that you have to take a step back before saying yes. You have to take a step back before the words come out of your mouth. You have to take a step back before you commit to anything. You have to take a step back before you visualize what your future is going to be. If you're going to look at the rest of the day, take a step back. So pacing help is helping me now, because I'm able to plan my day more effectively than instead of before. I would do I do have a routine. I have a everyday routine, my morning routine, my day routine, work routine, workout. Everything has its own routine. Like I have a day plan, but what is different now is I don't just make a routine saying that 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock I'm doing this, and 10 o'clock or this that. So I have removed that, this time to this time. I have removed the limitation of start and end to it. I'm allowing it to be more fluid and without boundaries. So I am listening to my body and I'm listening to what my mind says and how I can take how much today. So starting the day with the simple meditation, or just lying down as soon as I wake up, I do a workflow of, like, I have my to-do list that I prepare a day before, and I just run through in my head, and I'm like, okay, these are the things that I'm going to do, and I'm going to be flexible with whatever comes my way, and I am going to only take that I can, chew on right now. So pacing is something that is very important for me, and that is something that I am very consciously working on, because if I can be overwhelmed pretty quickly. So, yeah, taking a step back for everything that I do.
Good advice.
Yeah, like literally, I take a step back in my head. Remember the timeline therapy, or that thing that we do where we go take a step and then we turn around, take a walk back. So in my head, I do that. I'm like, literally take a step back. Okay, fine. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to have this conversation. What are you going to do? This is what it's. Is it in your control? The whole ecology check, and in your control, is the outcome positive? All that. And I think it makes a lot of sense, because I know the steps that is, there's a lot of process to it, and it's if. When I started this process, I was like, oh my God, who's gonna do all of this every time, you think? I think just starting with one and being aware of it eventually leads for it to come naturally. Anything that you do, right? You make a conscious effort first, and then eventually it becomes an unconscious effort of just being part of your life. So I did think of it. Who's going to sit and think about ecology check, or is it positively stated, or is it in your control, or is it something that, oh my God, so many checklists. Now I think it makes a lot of sense, because all of this can make my life a lot more easier. My decisions are a lot more, like, I can contemplate and make a decision a lot more simpler, and it's okay. I can do this. If I didn't do it, own up to it. I didn't do it. Fine. It's okay, Nidhi. You didn't do this today. That's all right.
Don't lie to yourself. Just be honest with
Don't lie to
yourself.
yourself. Exactly. Be
So
honest to yourself.
if you were to boil down the sort of simple, this down to something simple, what advice are you going to give yourself, on a simple, in a really super simple level? What nugget of information would you say is important to take out?
I think what I the only thing that comes in my mind that would sum up everything is take a breath. Just take a breath.
Yeah.
Consciously, take a breath. Deep one, just one deep breath can change everything. Like at least from my experience, like
So
that.
can we do it?
That does, right? It does make so much of a difference. It's so much of a shift. Like it's a break. It literally breaks pattern. Like how we do break pattern in any of the activities that we do, moving from one state to another, breaking pattern is so important. And this helps breaking pattern. And that can reset. I think it's my reset mantra. Breathe in, breathe out.
And so simple.
So simple, and we all do it every day, and we forget to do it every day.
I love the idea of us forgetting to breathe. It's like a, it's sort of strangely counterintuitive. Like, of course I'm not forgetting to breathe. I'd be dead if I didn't, but it's the quality
Exactly.
of your breath. And
Exactly.
I'd add to that. I think what I do is I breathe until my body or my mind agrees that I'm back to the baseline that I want to be at. So there's a process whilst I'm breathing of checking in with myself and relax, being aware of the muscles that are tense in my body and consciously relaxing, like you say, sort of breathing into those muscles, getting my posture right, making sure I'm sitting right in my chair or lying, however I'm lying, getting the distractions in my body out somehow, and then letting the tension in my mind go. I almost see my mind sometimes as a muscle, and I'm trying to, in the same way I'm breathing into my muscles to relax, sort of breathing into my mind to create the space in my mind that I need to come back to being my authentic, the me I want to be, my best self again. And then as soon as I've that check is a tick of, yeah, you're back, you're calm, your heart rate's down, your mind is open, your body is relaxed. Then that's when I come back into the world again.
I think, and at this current situation, at this given place that the whole world is in, self-love is so important because, like physical distancing, not being able to see the people that you see, and social distancing, and all of that. I mean, that experience is pretty overwhelming, and it boils down to sit, and I think a lot of us haven't had the chance to sit at home and be by ourselves alone. So many of us are alone at home, or with people who we've never thought we would sit alone with, and never had the time to have internal dialogues or internal conversations and stuff like that. So the world is forcefully put to a place where you have to learn to breathe. Importance of breathing. I mean, what an irony, right? Coronavirus with its affecting your lungs and breathing, and that's what it affects.
I can't agree with you more. It's fascinating that it's punctuated, the importance of to us of the areas that it affects, and I guess that's like anything, you don't realize how important something is until it's gone, the best way to, come out of this COVID situation with a positive attitude is to see the benefits that it brings in terms of the learning to ourselves, and take that, move forward with those learnings and hopefully, make the world a better place. If everyone is gathering that lesson, then there's something positive coming out of this.